Hey guys, this is John Boy. I was just calling to wish you happy holidays. Look forward to joining with you tonight on Friday Night Who, and even more so, looking forward to the new Doctor Who Christmas special this weekend. Talk to you guys later.
Traveling the Vortex.
Join the Doctor as he travels the Vortex and land at a Christmas special!
Yay!
And I just saw a chimney Christmas Eve. My brain went, what the hell? I'm Keith.
I'm Sean.
I'm Glenn.
I'm Mel.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Blake.
Yay, yes. We have friends here tonight with us recording.
For all of you that doubted us.
We have friends.
We have friends.
We actually have friends.
Sarah,
yeah. Real life friends.
They're not paying me, I swear.
Holly is still questionable, but
yeah, she's still no proof for her. Well, we have kids at home in bed now. Okay,
that's true. Well, we've sent
Glenn's
out,
Holly, not Holly from
Wisconsin. I'm tired of your excuses, Bartlett.
We sent out the word and said, "Hey, let's send us some Christmas wishes for our Christmas episode," and Holly from Wisconsin sent one in and said, "Hey guys, great last episode. I'm looking forward to the Christmas special episodes. Wanted to wish everyone in Traveling the Vortex a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year." Holly from Wisconsin.
Thanks, Holly.
Thanks, Holly. Merry Christmas
Merry
and Happy
Christmas
New Year
to you.
Yes.
Or in this case, Happy Christmas and soon to be Happy New Year, because we'll do another podcast by then.
That's right. We got two coming since then, but
yes.
That's all right.
Technically.
This is our Christmas special. Doctor Who gets to do a Christmas special every year. We thought we should do a Christmas special this year, so it's our first Christmas special.
Our first Christmas special. This is going to be as epic as Rudolph.
That's
maybe not. Maybe as epic.
Maybe as epic as
Rudolph's and Frosty's Shiny New Year.
There you go. That's the one. That's the one.
That's good.
Or Christmas in July.
No. We're better than Christmas in July. That was bad on you, Rankin and Bass. Bad on you. That was just pushing it way too far.
I hope we're better than Santa Conquers the Martians.
Oh, now? We talked about this the other day.
I know, but
that's a guilty pleasure of mine.
It's still a guilty pleasure, but you still admit that it's not good.
It's not good. It actually showed up on the number one worst Christmas movie of all time.
Yes.
As was it Rotten Tomatoes that did it?
No, I think it was Fandango.
Fandango's, yes, that's right. They took a poll.
Really?
And it was number one on the list of
where was Kiss Save Santa?
That wasn't
on
there.
No, it was not on there, yeah. Kiss Save
We just watched Family Guy.
That one gets its own bracket completely.
Dr. Phil here at Adventures in Time, Space, and Music, wanting to wish all you and all your listeners at Traveling the Vortex a very happy holiday season, hopefully filled with many wonderful Doctor Who gifts and wonderful cheer and fellowship. Anyway, have the most wonderful of holiday seasons.
Apparently.
Oh, yeah.
So, who spiked the eggnog tonight?
I did.
Everybody.
Blake brought the booze. Yay!
We should probably mention the unfortunate side effects of Mr. Vortex Keith's afternoon that he is not joining us in too many of the reindeer games and libations and fun food.
Quiet.
Because he had, how many teeth did you have?
I had five teeth pulled today.
Five
How many
teeth
were you supposed to have pulled today?
One.
How many did you have?
Five.
See, the dentist got in there and got confused and just started yanking. And finally, Sean and I had to go in and pull him off and say, "Listen, if you pull any more, he won't be able to eat."
At this point, I still can't.
So let's do the no list. No drinking, no smoking, no sucking.
I can't smoke for 48 hours.
No sex.
I can't drink while I'm taking the pain meds. No popcorn, which is a favorite snack of mine, for 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Why?
No chips, no chips, nuts,
no hard
candy. I had four teeth pulled, and the next day I was eating everything.
Hello, Vortex Boys, and all you defenders and protectors of the Vortex and number one fans. This is Chrissy here wishing everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And you know, it's been a really great year of long flights, murka jokes, canine awesomeness, and of course, Dr. Phil not getting run off the road. But most importantly, it's just been a great year for Doctor Who in general. And one thing I've enjoyed this year is just hanging out with the Vortex Boys and all you guys, especially on Friday Night Who. That has become the highlight of my year, and I've enjoyed it so much. And that's something I'm actually going to be highlighting in my year-in-review blog, or year-in-review post on my blog, The Traveling Vortex, and you guys will be there, so look for that. But after all is said and done, I just hope you all have a great holiday and you get everything you wanted, lots of goodies, and hopefully everything you receive is bow tie and nothing that is Marmite, and best wishes for a 2012 that is full of the same. Now, this is Chrissy again, signing off now. Cheers, good night everyone, be seeing you, Alonzi, Geronimo, etc., and that's it from me. Have a great one, guys. Bye-bye.
Now, we should mention tonight we are recording a live commentary as well as tweeting along to Friday Night Who. And this week we're watching
Type and Talk Christmas at the same Carol. Time. I've got money on no, but
there's going to be a lot of Glenn talking because he's not going to tweet.
That's right. I'm not talking. I can't even read people's tweets out, so you guys will be in charge of doing that.
Yeah.
Because we're going to anybody that's joining us tonight will actually get their tweets read out on this show as well. So it'll be like you're doing a live commentary with us.
Yes.
Yay.
Fun.
And as part of the festivities, Sarah came up with the great idea of getting crackers for the gang.
Sarah brought the Anglophilia to this party. This is strictly British Christmas right here.
Now, Glenn, for those that aren't quite sure, explain what the crackers are.
Well, I don't know that much about them except for they are a tradition in the UK.
It's
not for eating.
No, they're not for eating. Actually, what they are is they're designed, and they look like wrapped candy.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, many years ago, there was a candy maker that developed these. Now, a lot of people, there's some misnomers. These aren't from years and years and years ago. These haven't been around as long as people think. These have only been around.
Totally making this
no,
up
this
and
is
you
the,
don't
this
know.
This is the truth. This is the truth. From the early 1900s, there was a candy maker that decided that this would be a good idea to make these look like candies that they actually made as well. And they you'd open them up, and I think they actually had candy in them originally. Like, that's what the prize was. And they decided, they kind of evolved and became other prizes in them as well. But there are actually sites out there. There are sites out there where they'll try to tell you they've been around since, like, Queen Victoria. It's not true. That is not true. But it is.
Well,
it is a huge tradition in the UK, and it's something that.
They got little prizes in them.
That's right. They do have prizes in them, and we're going to find those out. And I think it's a well wishing, and I think there's like some luck involved, and you're supposed to kind of do them like a wishbone, where you have somebody take the other end and you pull, and it opens up, and it makes a cracking sound. That's why they're called crackers. And there's
no Marmite involved.
There is no Marmite. Well, I hope there's no Marmite.
Oh, yeah.
You don't
have
know,
any idea how disappointed
don't know
I would be
in
if
these,
I opened
so.
This and Marmite poured into my lap. I would be
and
beyond myself.
We will
myself.
See crackers in tonight's episode.
That's right.
Of Who,
there.
And that's how Sarah came up with the idea.
I think it's a genius
She's
idea.
It was. It was fantastic. Yeah, She's shy.
And
well, here,
she attacks me.
I'm excited to open these. So let's do this traditional British Christmas here.
Yeah.
So, well, we've decided that we're going to, like, everybody's going to grab an end here. We're going to kind of do this in a circle here.
So everyone's actual cracker is in their right hand, correct?
That's right. Yes.
All right.
So
yes.
On the count of three.
Yeah,
one.
No,
two.
Which way am I
we go on three.
Pull inward.
One.
Okay.
Two. Three.
Yay!
Yay!
Mine are broken.
This one was yours. So, like, did you hear him crack? That was cool.
I got teas.
Teas? What's teas?
That's it.
Literally teas.
Ooh, I got like a.
Everybody has to wear their
spring. Oh, I got like a. It's like a puzzle.
I got screwdrivers.
It's like a toy puzzle here.
Little baby screwdrivers.
Oh, cool. Wow. That's awesome.
Like a jeweler's set. That's awesome.
Hey, where's my crown? Oh, it's in there.
Hey, how appropriate.
Now, there should be, I think there's a fortune in these as well. There should be a fortune.
Got screwdrivers?
Oh, history of Tungsten. Oh, look here. It's the history of the cracker.
Hang on, I got to put my paper hat on.
And a joke. What's your joke, Sarah?
How did the human cannonball lose his job?
Ah, he got a crown.
He got fired.
I give up. How did the human cannonball lose his job?
I didn't get a joke.
He got fired. Ba-dum-bum.
I didn't
what
get a joke.
What gets bigger the more you take away?
I don't know. What does get bigger the more you take away?
A hole.
I didn't get a joke. No. 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 Oh, wait a minute. It is here. Here's my joke. So it's a...
Oh,
here we go. Here we go. Why does the bus stop at every corner?
I don't know. Why does the bus stop at every
because
corner?
Because it's a greyhound. Get it? Corner?
Corner.
Your name.
Potty
humor.
Who invented fireworks?
I don't know. Who did invent fireworks?
Some bright spark.
Some bright spark.
What?
Oh, look. It's almost time for Friday Night Hoot.
Oh, 1 minute.
What's your joke?
1 minute.
What is the biggest ant?
I don't know. What is the biggest ant?
An elephant.
An elephant. And wait. Mine. What sort of song would a ghost sing?
Tease.
What kind of song would a ghost sing?
A haunting melody.
Oh, it's one of those ring puzzles.
Yeah, that's what I got, was a ring puzzle.
What did you get, Sean?
Tease.
Yay! Merry Christmas, everybody! Yay!
Merry Christmas!
Ooh, very nice.
Ooh. Does it sing?
No.
Not that kind of jewel.
Not that kind of jewel.
I got a rock.
I got a rock.
Sean, I believe that's called coal.
I don't think I got anything. I got the history of Tom Smith.
You surely got something.
Do you want to open one of those?
I got a crown, and I got a joke.
Where'd it go? Did it fly?
It might have flown.
Must have flown out.
You probably seen the crack.
Huh? No, just getting started here. It's got to be here somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll find it later.
It's totally a little leisure thing.
That's very cool, Mel.
Very cool. All right, well, guys, so are we getting the DVD queued up here now as we speak?
The DVD is queuing up.
Again, now, as we mentioned earlier, this is going to be our this is our Christmas present to you. This is a live commentary. Okay. That you can actually queue up your copy of Christmas Carol and listen to
be
our
Blu-ray
commentary,
or...
if you even care what we think about this. And you can
and
queue it up. Actually, I understand that you have to do it with... is this the Blu-ray?
This is the Blu-ray.
All right. This is. We need to let people know that because
the
frame syncs are slightly different between Blu-ray and DVD.
And this
and
is
they
the
do
Blu-ray
get a little out of sync. So.
Individual... disc.
This is the individual disc.
I'm getting one last watch out of my individual copy of Christmas Carol before I sell it.
If it doesn't work with your multi-copy version, then you might try this one. So I hear they're all a little different and out of sync. So if you listen with the DVD, it's different than if you listen with the...
And leave it...
Only by a second or
leave
half
it to
second.
Us to make this as difficult as
absolutely,
possible.
Absolutely. You know, it wouldn't be our show if we didn't, so... So we're getting
drifting,
to the we're getting
oh
to
no,
the
we get
menu.
Matt Smith.
We're getting to the menu here. We've got people waiting on
Twitter. It's
Twitter,
just now
so
midnight.
Let's let them know that we're
Sean, you want to handle that?
Getting underway now.
On it now.
Oh, there's the menu screen.
Menus.
Doctor Who, A Christmas Carol. Now, as soon as we hit this, that's when we start. So,
that's right.
So if you've got your legally purchased Blu-ray or DVD queued up right now, we're getting ready to start. Just a moment here. Coming up.
Ready?
Can everybody feel the tension here?
Dun dun dun.
We need a dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun.
Ooh, a little angel.
Oh.
Here, Sean, you can have the frog.
I got a frog.
Oh, frog. All right. Are we ready?
We are ready.
All right, here we go.
Sean, count us down.
3, 2, 1, push
play,
play now. What do you mean this operation not available here?
I hit play.
You got a UK version of the Blu-ray?
Right.
I did what you said. I pressed play.
All right. Well, here's the open here. The BBC logo coming up to let us know that the BBC is involved in this. Is this show on BBC in the UK?
I think this show might be on BBC.
It's in the BBC. Oh, here we go. Crashing ship.
Everyone, welcome Aspie Mish to the feed on Twitter.
Hello, Aspie Mish.
And Chrissy.
Oh, here we are. We're on the bridge of the Enterprise. Got our own captain, Janeway, and Geordi LaForge there. No. we've got the lens flare going. No, this was very much an homage.
It was very much an homage to Star Trek.
I mean, even the panel of
the J.J. Abrams Star Trek.
And Inner Amy.
Inner police uniform.
And Sean?
Shall I go now?
You should go now.
Amy's hot.
Yay,
here comes Rory.
Yay, Rory.
Go for it, sir.
Yeah, Rory's go for it, sir.
That Mel did
Mel
it.
Said it.
A chorus of Rory is hot from the ladies.
Oh, is he wearing pants?
Yes.
Oh, I never noticed that. Well, why would he be wearing pants?
Why is he wearing
pants?
What are they supposed to wear?
Bummer.
Nothing.
Don't be late, Doctor. Don't be late.
Ah, Chrissy tweeted it.
Come along, Pond. Goose pimples moment.
And it is Christmas, the opening.
Actual credit sequence here.
Anybody else think for the Christmas specials it should be snowing in the vortex?
Oh, I think that would be awesome.
That would be kind of cool. Awesome. I don't know why they don't do something like that.
We have lightning in this.
Oh, we have lightning and clouds. Why not snow?
Then
well,
it would be thunder,
thunder snow, yeah, which is dangerous, I hear. I don't know why.
And
but it's
weird
dangerous.
And creepy.
Creepy. It is creepy. You ever been outside in thundersnow?
Yes.
Oh, man, it's bizarre.
And John Boy has joined us. He says Amy is hot as well.
And Mavic Chen.
I'm going to see John Boy.
And Mavic
Chen. Sunday.
That's cool.
There's so many good visuals in this.
It is. It's gorgeous. The effects here, which this is all obviously CGI as we come in here, but it looks incredible. They really did a nice job on this.
I'm also a ninja. So.
Now, Blake has not seen A Christmas Carol.
And of course, we're ruining it for him because we're talking over it. Yeah.
I'm going to send the Blu-ray home with
directed
him so
by
can watch
Toby Haynes, who's done some fine work on Doctor Who.
Those look like from. Oh my God! You know the well, from the people that get magnetized in that kids movie.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Spy Kids.
Spy Kids.
It's the third movie.
Oh, I haven't seen the third one. I've only seen the first one.
They have robot heads and they get magnetized to
it. Oh, the game when they go inside the video game. I do know what you're talking about. That's right.
You know what Mel's talking about. That's kind of scary, actually.
He has kids.
I do have kids. Yeah. Michael Gambon.
It's Dumbledore.
Dumbledore.
It's weird
to see him without facial hair. Aw.
Fail.
What?
Hello?
Does anyone remember a movie years ago that had him and LL Cool J and Robin Williams?
Whoa, that's a weird combination.
Toys?
It was like toys.
Yeah, it's called Toys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Had Joan Cusack, too.
Yeah, it was trippy.
Here's the thing with Toys, quite honestly. I honestly believe that Toys is one of those undiscovered gems that's going, if it's not already in some circles, going to become a cult classic.
That one had a great Christmas story to it as well. So.
It is a fan. It is a much better Christmas movie than Nightmare Before Christmas.
Boo.
We will have that argument later.
Boo.
Any movie that has LL Cool J and Robin Williams as brothers or cousins,
yeah,
rather.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
I like the steampunk look of all this. It's very cool.
And the isomorphic
very
controls.
Off-world, but, oh, you lost your crown. Sarah lost
I'm going to apologize now. Apparently, I got Aspie Mitch's Twitter handle wrong when I welcomed her to the show, so I'm retyping it, and I'm throwing it out there verbally because I'm trying to do two different things at once. Obviously,
Sean can't
miserably.
Talk, tweet, and watch a show at the same time.
Couldn't do it.
It's like walking and chewing gum. Sean
yeah, it's going to be kind of quiet from us.
Now, rubbing my belly and patting my head. Well, I've got a crown on, but I can do that. But I can't.
I can't walk and chew gum.
Oh, look at the street urchins.
Here comes the best scene ever.
Here it comes. The TARDIS. There's the TARDIS sound.
I like how the kid follows the... He's the only one that follows the noise.
So, yeah, he's the one that notices it, I think, the most.
Whoosh, here he comes, down the chimney.
Down the chimney. It's Santa Doctor.
He looks good in dust.
Yes. Blimey. Sorry. Christmas Eve on a rooftop. Saw a chimney. My whole brain just went, what the hell? I'm just scoping out the general.
That's why Matt Smith's... He's the only one that could pull that line off the way that he does. Jeff. A big flashy lighty thing.
That's got me written all over it. Well, not yet, but give me 12 minutes and a crayon.
It looks like a like an organ or something. It's kind of cool.
It is.
Chrissy tweeted out that Keith, since this is your first time, we've had your doctor on Friday Night Who. She expects you to be in rare form.
Oh, boy. That's a lot of pressure.
Is this really our first Friday Night Who with Matt Smith?
It's our first official Friday Night Who with Matt Smith.
I did not realize that. Very cool.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a great line, because that's the line that the Fourth Doctor gives to Sutek in Pyramids of Mars in order to so that Sutek thinks that the Doctor's the only one that can fly the TARDIS. He tells him the TARDIS has isometric controls.
Morphic.
And of course isomorphic, yes. And of course in that instance it is a lie. So
and Mavic Chen's favorite line of the episode, give me time and a crayon.
Well, and if those listeners remember, this was the very first episode of Doctor Who we discussed on the podcast.
That's right. This is going so all the way back.
We reviewed this in episode number one.
Episode will always hold a special place in my heart because it's my first real introduction to Who.
Was this the first one we watched?
Yeah.
I mean, the first one you... Well, you had seen some.
I'd seen some, but I didn't...
But this was actually the first one.
This was the first real start of Keith's weird Matt Smith obsession.
Unhealthy. Unhealthy.
Unhealthy Matt Smith obsession.
As awesome as he is in this episode, rightfully so.
Hey, Topeka Buzz writes, get this deal and more. Gourmet meat package with included shipping. Oh, wait a minute. That's not for us.
I don't think they're following along.
But if Omaha Steaks would like to sponsor us, you know.
Absolutely.
Get on our Google voicemail. Let us know.
He's going to strike the kid with the back of his hand. Dumbledore almost hit a student. Just wrong.
Mel asked, why do you think the helpers had butcher aprons on?
That's a good question. Well, I suppose it's because they're working with those frozen bodies.
Yeah, they wouldn't want to get any of the...
meat. That's why.
Yeah. It's like a meat locker. You're absolutely right. Here's the...
This is where the Doctor goes Sherlock.
Yeah, this is the very Sherlock part of this.
Does anybody think it's just a little odd that the father's name is Elliot and the son is Kazrak? I mean,
Elliot's such a simple, normal
comparative
name.
Sci-fi name, Kazrek. Yeah. He's got to have a K and a Z and a couple of J's and a silent Q in it.
K, Ebenezer.
John Boy agrees with
John Boy says it seems that the doctor is channeling. Or who was that? That wasn't John Boy. Who was
that? Was John Boy.
Was it? Okay.
Oh, and then Mavic says, I love the Sherlock in Doctor Who.
Yeah, there you go.
And back to the spaceship. Things are still exploding and falling apart.
Back on the Enterprise.
Rule one, Amy.
I think that's the ship phone.
That's not a very slick phone.
They want to make sure you don't want to steal it. It's like the big giant bathroom key on the end of a plunger.
Or a big wooden spoon and fork.
Right, there you go.
I'm sure on the intergalactic cruise ship circuit that the phones are a hot commodity item to steal.
Well, not the
bathrobe, not the towels.
No, the phones.
The phones.
Just be lucky they haven't anchored it to the desk so that, can't walk out with it.
Fish.
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 There's the fish.
I love how, in all of the absurdity of Doctor Who, flying fish, I mean, that's right up there with the top of the absurd. And the Doctor even falls into the fish. I mean, he's just completely thrown by that, of all of the things that he's seen in the universe.
That was one of the things that I had a hard time with the first time I saw this, was the fish. And it wasn't until later when the shark's introduced that I was just like, okay, I'm fine with it.
They jumped the shark.
Yeah, it was just, they jumped the shark.
Well, I think they did a decent job of sci-fying it up enough that it's not just fish that fly.
Yeah, no, they did a good job with it. Because of the atmosphere, it makes sense. They worked it in.
I was telling Keith, it dawned on me like a thunderclap earlier this week. We're watching A Christmas Carol, which obviously is A Christmas Carol. It's Dickens, it's the story of the ghost and everything.
Right.
But the climax of this, not to spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen it, but she sings.
Plug your ears, W.
The entire show builds up to a literal Christmas Carol.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
I hadn't either. And all of a sudden, the skies opened and fish came pouring out. And I went, whoa! Well, Stephen Moffat is a genius.
This is such a good scene.
He thinks it's in his head.
Yeah. No longer in his eyes.
Oh, wait a minute. This is real. This is what's going on now.
I thought for a moment that they got the guy that played Dickens in the...
Oh,
it looks like
it
him.
It looks like him.
Initially, it looks like him. You're right.
But it's not. It's Michael...
Michael Gambon.
Michael
just
Gambon again.
Done
dual role as father and son. Well, he's not the son as the...
Well,
not
older
the older
son.
Grown-up son.
Yeah, grown the grown-up son.
Smack.
I like that they didn't actually show the smack. They
yeah.
cut away.
And yeah. we do. We never see anyone strike anyone in this.
Nor should you.
I would agree. It's just as impactful being off camera as well.
Oh, yeah.
MacGyver, awesome.
Yeah. The Doctor's always been the MacGyver of the universe.
He's got good qualities, MacGyver, Sherlock.
Yeah.
Now we get some quantum leap in there.
There you go.
Oh, he's kind of got the Scott Bakula hair flip thing in.
I'm Don't bother ringing for your servants. They've all won the lottery, which is a bit lucky. There isn't a lottery. As I said, a bit lucky.
You know, despite the fact that this is essentially a Christmas carol, it's very imaginative the way that they the take they do on it. Because, and we talked about this before, Stephen Moffat does such a good job with time,
yes.
with time travel, with building stories around time and changing time.
Coined the phrase "wibbly wobbly timey wimey."
Absolutely. So, I mean, it just I used to originally thought, you know, what a cheat. To take something that's already been established and just adapt it to a Doctor Who story. But it's really, it's so deep. There's so much more to this story.
Oh, yeah, there definitely is. He has such great lines.
Bit scary? I think it'd be a lot scary.
That
weren't there originally? That would just be bizarre.
My favorite line's coming up.
Yeah, why would you tell a kid that?
He just gets to ramble and he doesn't even think.
Yeah.
So, what are we going to do? Eat crisps and talk about girls?
I've never actually done that, but I bet it's easy, girls. Yeah? I'm universally recognized as a mature and responsible adult.
It's just a lot of waving eyebrows.
Yeah.
Just a lot of waving eyes. A bit too big.
Finally, a lie too
oh,
big.
Oh, so true.
Blake, that psychic paper, he says something and the paper transmits whatever he's thinking to make the person believe whatever he said.
Awesome.
And it didn't work this time. I'm a responsible adult. Not so much. Chrissy says it's amazing the power of winning the lottery can have on a plot point.
Changes an entire story.
My question is, what is Kazrak going to do later when the doctor leaves? He has no staff anymore. Living in that big house by himself.
Oh. Well, I would assume that they went to try to cash in the lottery and realize, oh, wait, there isn't one. And had to go back.
I disagree, because if you go all the way back to school reunion, David Tennant's doctor replaced the teacher at the school because that teacher had won the lottery.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got a pretty long history of passing out winning lottery tickets.
So I think it's very...
he has a time machine.
It's a clever way of making a joke, but I think that the lottery ticket probably were legitimate. They just don't happen to have a lottery here. So. No,
yeah, just maybe not on this planet.
Elsewhere,
yeah. So, back to Earth.
That's a big Tennant story. One of the stories, had a lottery ticket the doctor gave the shop worker.
Oh, yeah, and Doctor Who reincarnated. That was a method of payment for a garment.
Chrissy also says, I will never get tired of listening to Matt Smith rattle off Moffat-penned monologues.
They roll off his tongue so nicely.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, at this point, Moffat had been writing for Matt Smith for
a full season.
All right, you gotta watch the string.
Well, that's right.
I always miss this part.
We've got something.
Bow ties are cool.
Hold the string.
And Kazrak's wearing a bow tie.
Bow ties are cool. And Mavic Chin just tweeted, bow tie is cool because rule number one is the doctor always lies.
No, it's because bow ties are cool.
And see, this is what I don't get. Is that little fish is pulling the string that hard.
I wonder if the Sonic was emitting something that was causing the string to...
To let him know?
Yeah, to let him know. Of course, the, you know...
It can open wooden gates, I'm sure it can do that.
Sonic doesn't work on wood.
He really still needs to get an app for that.
Here it goes. What are you?
Shark!
Shark attack!
John Boy.
said, I knew the shark was coming and still jumped.
Mel, Chrissy just tweeted, who else didn't notice the tug on the rope until the doctor actually mentioned it? She was just commenting on that. Everybody watch the rope, watch the rope.
Yeah.
We're going to need a bigger TARDIS.
The first time I heard that line, it took me a minute to kind of rationalize, you know.
I
what is it called if you don't have any feet and you're getting a run-up? And I'm like, what? And then he busts through the door and I was like, oh.
Within reach.
Two arms. I'm sorry, but couldn't the doctor just go back and get the TARDIS to make him a new Sonic?
He's grown so attached to this one.
But he's got to get a new one anyways.
Bad big fishy.
Oh. Oh.
His Sonic is broken.
It looks like a spark plug now, doesn't it?
Kind of.
Hooray, broken Sonic. It's funny
remember
how...
Remember how we theorized that after this, there might not be another Sonic?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. I think we were hopeful.
Well, do you remember, we haven't got to this yet, but Glenn remembers watching The Visitation with Peter Davidson when he loses the Sonic and it gets blown up. And the doctor comments, I feel like I've just lost my friend. And we were like, oh, the blew up.
It was very sad.
I mean, it was a huge moment. And now it's kind of like, hey, he blew it up. Hooray.
Yay.
I feel like it does too much.
You're overusing it. Quit.
They don't have as much time to tell the stories like they used to. So now they got to have short cuts.
Well, yeah. It's either that or drag it out for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Well, the doctor is somewhat like a person with ADD. Ooh, look, shiny!
And I wonder how much... Those are the kind of scenes that make me wonder how much is scripted.
Yeah.
I mean, is it written in Stephen Moffat, you run over to the tree and ignore him, and then, you know, or did Matt Smith just... Is he embodied the character so much now?
I've seen him in interviews, and he's just manic enough that I think that he probably adds some of that stuff in as he goes.
Oh,
yeah.
I bet.
He he straddles this line of this childlike innocence.
There we go, playing with time again.
Oh, yeah. I think he definitely did bring a lot of innocence and enjoyments and wonder back to the character.
Okay. Here's another one.
Makes you wonder what kind of creepy childhood this kid has had, hanging out with all these frozen bodies in the basement listening to pre-recorded messages.
Yeah.
But yet, how does he get in? Because he didn't have the key code.
Yeah.
So how does he know the recording?
Obviously, they must have brought her out.
Well, no, his dad goes down
there. He probably goes down with his dad.
Yeah, he doesn't go
dad,
by himself.
Yeah.
He makes the comment later that his dad keeps stock. He goes down there to count.
That's right.
Stock.
That's right.
Well, because it wouldn't be a Christmas carol if Scrooge wasn't in the money chain in the money house
counting
the money.
Yep.
Marco Polo.
Uh oh. Here comes the real homage to Jaws.
And to channel Dr. Phil, the music in this
is so
fantastic.
Madman in a Box.
Gotta wonder if old Sardauk is feeling the like same fear as the child right now as he's wetting himself in that chair. Run! I don't want to feel scared again.
You can see he is.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
The best part about it.
Michael Chambon da-da. Truly portrays da-da, all of that da-da, and what da-da, da-da, he's da-da. On screen for. Da-da-da.
He went straight for the...
He went to the booze, didn't he?
went straight for the Jim Beam there.
Wasn't no hot cocoa. What is it that she's singing? That's what I...
Some opera song.
She is an opera singer.
She is in real life, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean...
In fact, this was her first...
Television
acting appearance. Now, obviously, when you're in operettas, you act, but this was her first on-screen, yeah.
Interesting acting thing, if you put certain types of sharks in the water on their back and stroke their stomachs, they will fall asleep. It'll put them in the hypnotic sleep. So her sitting there petting it is not exactly incorrect. It would just be more interesting if it was on its...
Huh.
Upside down.
It's just a matter of getting the shark upside down.
Well, you tease it to flip.
Trick it.
Yeah.
This kid could almost play a young Rory.
He sort of looks like Rory.
He's got
in the face.
The kind of speech patterns.
Yeah.
He almost looks like a better young Rory than what we see in Let's Go Hitler.
Yeah, that's true.
I wasn't impressed with the young Rory.
I'm really impressed with this kid's acting. He does a fantastic job.
Most kid actors are kind of but he really does sell it.
Everyone,
The
now, what
photo
was your
changed.
Problems with the picture? We talked about this.
Okay. That's the same picture we looked at earlier.
Right.
It's changed to her.
Right. Instead of his father.
Yeah. When later it goes back to his father, it literally would have never changed.
No, but I still go back to the as the new memories are.
But how would that change the photo as opposed to his memories are changing, but everything's still happening?
But it's the memories are happening in a linear progression.
The pictures also appear later that he has of his adventures with the Doctor.
That happens. We don't see them materialize out of nowhere.
Well, no, but we didn't see the picture materialize out of nowhere.
But we saw a previous version of the picture.
Well,
because it has now changed.
Time's being rewritten as well as his memories.
Yeah. I don't have as much problem with it now as the first time I ever watched it, when I didn't understand how time travel worked in Doctor Who.
Interesting camera. That would be cool. And it takes actual pictures.
Of course. Oh, yes.
So if you go by the, as long as you've traveled in the TARDIS, you're a companion, then Gadrick's been a companion.
Well, considering how much
and Abigail's been a companion.
As much as he traveled?
They traveled quite frequently because they traveled every Christmas Eve.
Every Christmas Eve, I would say, if that's the qualifier, companion status.
There it is. Ding. Was that the roast finishing?
Must be. The turkey's done.
Turkey's done. Ding. Santa hats.
So a year later, and we're back.
And seven. Now we've ticked down to seven.
It took me like one or two viewings to get that. Yes, and young Kazran has started wearing the bow ties because they are cool.
Except at Christmas, because Christmas is such a magical time.
I love that shot of them all staring up into the sky, expectantly waiting for the beep that's not going to come, and then it comes.
See, someone needs to make a t-shirt of that.
That would be a cool t-shirt.
Doctor Who, Santa Claus, Shark Tamer.
You have to admit, that's something you don't see every day. A shark pulling a rickshaw through clouds. It's interesting that the other family didn't seem to recognize anything about... He must go under a different name here on this planet. Because he's like Santa Claus, or the fat fellow will be wrong later. And they're like, who? He goes, you know, Santa. And goes through that
Father
whole spin.
Christmas.
They don't know who it is. And the little girl in the window holding up the sock is all disappointed because it's not who she thought it was.
Right, right.
I guess I had the problem because, how many of those pictures would he have taken by the time those new memories were there?
Yeah.
So he's got pictures of other memories.
Fezzes!
He's got other memories of stuff that he hasn't got memories for yet. He's got pictures of.
Scarf! And yet we continue to count down without the Doctor recognizing.
Yes.
We're questioning why the numbers are going down each time. Oh, my.
Oh, that's an interesting...
She's got handsome now.
The first Christmas, she doesn't say doctor first.
Chrissy said, when I first saw this, I thought the little girl in her bed was a little Amelia Pond.
That'd be a little too wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey.
It doesn't even look like that same actress, though.
Well, we're not even on Earth, though, so...
I know,
yeah.
But it still looks like the same
actress. It does look like the same actress. So we get a little Rory look-alike and a little Amy look-alike.
Yes.
Can I go on record on audio as saying that the one part of the TARDIS console, even though it's totally fitting with the TARDIS, but the one thing that bothers me is the jug of... the jug of windshield wiper fluid that seems to be hanging there.
Maybe he drinks it.
Maybe it's the new mercury circuit. I don't know. It just bothers me. I think it's
windshield wiper fluid, and what it does is it goes up into the light and it cleans the light out so that the scanner can work. Because that's where the camera for the scanner is in the light.
In the lamp on the top of the...
It's in the lamp. Yes, it is. This one has a time rotor as well. This has a time rotor. It looks like one of those aqua thermometers, the ones that change the aqua barometer, whatever they all are.
I think it was a barometer. Way to go, Catherine. Just point out the poorness of
it. It must suck to be poor.
I didn't realize until this one. I'd always comment or thought about the window in Catherine's bedroom, which very, very much looks like the windshield of the Millennium Falcon to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah, it does.
But
it
of the windows on the planet have that architecture.
That's true.
Yeah. They've all got the same. Card tricks. Awesome.
Not yet.
Not anymore.
But he will.
But he won't.
But he will.
But he won't.
Oi, stop it. You're doing it wrong.
And John Boy says, you're doing it wrong. Great line.
That line's almost an Eccleson.
Yeah. It is.
Oi, stop it. You're doing it wrong. It's very Eccleson.
Hey, you're right.
Yay, tonight.
There's crackers. The crackers. Yay.
Yay.
Oh, we didn't cross arms. We should have crossed arms when we did it. Clever anyway. Their crowns are actually like fancy. Belts. Yeah. Oh, and they're holding hands under the table. Love is budding. And the doctor's ambiguous. Not ambiguous.
Confounded.
Confounded. Oh, yeah. Well, this is that girl's thing that I don't know anything about.
Good night. Good luck.
Oh, doctor,
that's the best advice ever. Best advice for kissing a girl.
Otherwise, you'll wind up in a room inventing a new kind of screwdriver. Don't make my mistakes.
Another great line.
I like a woman who takes charge.
For the record, I would let Abigail take charge anytime she liked.
He's got that look on his face. See, there it is again.
The happy look?
No, the doctor looking at him like, what?
Oh.
California, 1952. California.
I don't understand what's up with his hair right there.
Tennant changed his hair for the 50s.
It's like he tried to blend in with the
1950s. Tennant did the pompadour.
He did the pompadour in that one episode. Yeah.
That would be so awesome to see.
I would love if they did like a Forrest Gump thing and like did a like side by side Matt Smith singing with, or the Doctor singing with Frank Sinatra.
Well, they did it with
awesome.
The Laurel and Hardy stuff. Or
oh, that's right. Yeah, they put him in the Laurel and Hardy film.
He was in the picture at the very beginning. Me, Santa Claus, and Frank Sinatra. Wasn't it Frank Sinatra and Albert Einstein?
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Or how does he know he's?
I'm assuming they've been introduced.
Accidentally engaged to Marilyn Monroe. He's got the lipstick on the cheek.
Marilyn, get your coat.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Right after this aired, yeah, Marilyn Monroe's Wikipedia entry changed to reflect that she was briefly
engaged to
an unknown
man in a bow tie,
yep.
Something like that.
Something to that effect.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
It's all reflected in his eyes in that scene right there.
He's awesome.
Fantastic acting.
Chrissy says, and thus Kazran turns to the dark side.
Always over a woman.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but Kazran has a bit more justification than what Lucas portrayed in, or included in the script for Revenge of the Sith.
No. We've been over this. In order for Revenge of the Sith to be the true experience it needs to be, you need to incorporate the movie, the novelization, and the video game. Then it works.
I don't even... just the novelization.
What, Revenge of the Sith. Yeah. Yeah, and book way better. Way better.
I didn't really notice anything different in the video game.
It's
aside
Matthew
from
Stover is a
the video game had the knockdown, drag out Mace Windu Anakin fight that should have been in the movie and wasn't, so... I totally qualify the game.
The alternate ending.
And the alternate ending.
We can't even do commentaries without segueing.
Did you really think we were going to do an audio commentary without a...
No.
Now, see, he turned.
He turned before.
He made that face.
Yeah, the moment he realized he had to lock her back in her fridge, he realized that he's got to focus on other things to keep her alive.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Apparently it's a running theme. John Boy just said, notice how Kazran untied his bow tie as he turned to the dark side.
He's trying to break the connection.
And look, he's wearing all black now, too.
And, oh, the Doctor, just a little premature. The music builds. We have hope. The drawer opens. Out comes the Sonic.
A still broken Sonic.
And he's already there.
I'm assuming it's the next Christmas, right?
No.
Has it been longer than that?
And thrust himself on him, and it came too soon.
Bad timing, Doctor. Bad timing.
Yeah.
Now, I have a hard time believing, because how many times have you gone to the door and looked for something, even 5 minutes later.
That's a good point.
Well, it looked like that drawer wasn't ever opened again.
5 minutes and it's gone.
Buy phones like that now, old-timey looking phones that are Bluetooth connected.
Oh, that's cool.
You can get those now.
I very seriously thought about getting one, except for the fact that the receiver end of it, it weighs like 16 pounds. Oh. It's like holding a bowling ball up to your head trying to talk on it.
We've decided that Amy hasn't been in this episode long enough, so...
John Boy says, Amy's a Christmas present? why are they in the freezer?
Yeah.
They had to bring him down.
Yeah, that was a way to lure him down into the freezer.
Oh, yeah, by Abigail.
Right.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Playing on the emotions again, remember? When I first saw this, I thought they had released all the people out of the freezers. I thought, well, that's bizarre.
And for the looks of them, it must be formal night on the cruise ship. These are some well-dressed,
maybe they chose
about to be casualties.
Christmas party, come on.
They're dressed for death.
They did say Christmas is canceled, so they're dressed up and for parties.
That's the line from Titanic. We are wearing our best, but we would like a brandy.
He walks through and they didn't materialize.
And Bah Humbug.
Another good shot.
I like how they disappear and he says this. I would never have known her if the doctor hadn't changed the course of my whole life to suit himself. Well, that's good, isn't it?
No.
Why is she so
And here's the sad realization.
What do you have that you have exactly 9 days to live?
And she looks so healthy.
Yeah. That's the only thing I don't buy about this.
Kappa Schaflagen.
Is that a medical term?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Sean.
She needs a brain transplant.
Well, this is a different planet.
Maybe whatever plagues their planet, they know. You get this, you get this.
They have flying fish on this planet. I'm okay with letting that mystery go, right? quite honestly.
I can believe that.
This ship almost reminds me more of Galaxy Quest.
It really is. It's really, really more of that.
It is
version.
A very Galaxy Quest starship.
Fire the red and blue lasers!
You think there are giant stompy traps that people have to go through in the ship too?
So here's an interesting question. We can just move his projection to the ship. So now he's the hologram witnessing what's going on. Are you telling me a starship this advanced doesn't have a teleport? They couldn't have just transmatted him up to the ship and said, go ahead, make the call now.
Yeah.
I'm not above a little hijacking and piracy and kidnapping if it saves 4,000 people. Yeah.
TARDIS looks so cool there in the background.
I like how it's constantly in the background the entire episode.
Best part ever.
And Vortex Key says, oh, wait. I guess I don't have to read your tweets, do I?
I love how it comes down to Doctor Who's belief in the person rather than thinking he can change the time.
Yeah.
It's about changing the person.
Yeah. Which goes back to all of the Doctor's belief in humanity.
Yeah. That choice. Giving...
And the geniusness of, you know, I'm showing you the future. Go ahead then. No, I am.
All sorts of therapy right here.
If you didn't back catch it, Blake just said all kinds of therapy right here.
It's a good thing he didn't touch him too, because who knows what would have happened to the time stream.
Oh, here we go. Here's where this is where it all falls apart right here. No!
Oh! Oh! Yeah, that's right.
So much for the Blavatnikov levitation effect.
Levitation effect. Perhaps he changed him so much.
Could be. The ice doesn't recognize him.
That's right, the controls.
Mavic Chen just replied, crossing timelines, touching each other, universe collapsing, and head exploding.
Like she was going somewhere. Isomorphic.
And that's a very Paul McGann line.
Which I'm excited to talk about
our
big finish next week. I'm falling in love with Paul McGann. Not literally, but.
And the lightning in the background.
Music builds.
That's why I watch with subtitles a lot.
He's not as bad as David.
That's true.
No, I disagree. I think Matt Smith is much worse. Oh yeah, I have a harder time following Matt Smith than Matt Smith is very.
He's more manic about it.
Yeah, exactly.
But David Tennant just mumbles. Gives him that difference.
Yes, yes.
That subtle difference.
I think. I think it depends a lot too on the episode, because a lot of we had problems with David Tennant episodes when he would start to really get into it, but it was also at that moment where the music was building and the explosions were going off, and there was so much background noise that I had trouble hearing.
Sure. Oh no, I can see that too.
But maybe it's just with Matt Smith. I almost feel like I'm more riveted to whatever is pouring out of him.
Are you gonna do something? We've only been crashing for an hour now.
Leave it to last minute.
What is that? What are you listening to?
This is from outside. This is American Clouds.
I've tuned into American Top 40. It's Casey Kasem.
This ship gets Pandora. Oh, so great. It's our death requiem.
Hey, the elevator stayed closed.
We're dying up here, and you're putting on a concert?
John Boy says, all right, 2 weeks in a row we get tear jerkers.
That's true. Last week we did Stolen Earth and Journey's End two-parter.
So. Yeah.
They're just trying to get you to cry. Just you. By New Year's.
Is that an achievement?
It ought to be.
Cry during Friday Night.
Achievement unlocked.
I have news for you. I cry every week at Friday Night Who.
Cry during Friday Night Who, 5 points. Make John Boy cry during Friday Night Who, 50 points.
Priceless.
Priceless.
I do like the design of the outside of the ship.
It's very Titan AE.
Yeah.
Oh, it does classic. Have that look. Yeah.
And look. Blake brought in Joss Whedon, not me.
Yeah, but you haven't referenced that other show yet.
Yeah. That's true.
Man, there was a bitter look.
This is actually snow. This isn't the ashes of some alien ship.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the last two times we saw it snow.
Something died. Don't worry about it. It'll go away.
It's a pretty song.
It is.
It is a gorgeous song.
Huh. And what's this white stuff falling from the sky?
There's a difference in the dress code of the population, because all of the adults have this kind of weird Edwardian steampunk thing going on, and all of the youngsters look like they
Victorian.
Stepped off the set of some, you know, A Christmas Story with their knit mittens and their wool hats. Oh. They just don't quite match.
I think they all come out of, like, the 50s. They all have these, like, you know, Johnny Jetpack look. You know, they've got the goggles and the... Hey, look, the whole planet knows the words to the song.
Except for Kazran.
It was nice of him to get the Christmastown Choir together on short notice for this. I'm sure a couple of well-placed phone calls and an offer of donation. Oh, and the genius. The TARDIS disappears, and what's behind it?
The buggy!
The rickshaw.
The buggy. He built all 20. That's fantastic.
Rory's cute little punch. Hey, buddy.
And a bit carnivorous.
I wonder if that's a line from The Hitchhiker's Guide. A bit carnivorous. That sounds like something
sounds
that the guide would come up with.
Otherwise, River might be pissed.
I don't know. That's a whole nother birthday. Halfway out of the dark. Somebody said that earlier today, or earlier this month, with the solstice. They said, "Oh, it's the summer or winter solstice. Congratulations, we're halfway through the winter." And this is what I thought of. I didn't think of the scientific. I didn't think of this. I thought of Doctor Who's Christmas Carol.
And then,
yay! Credits roll.
So, Blake, this was your first viewing of A Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
What'd you think? Granted, we did do you a bit of disservice by talking.
No.
I think we did a horrible job talking through it.
I think it was...
we get the next show trailer. Next season trailer. As we all go quiet.
Yeah, we got to watch the trailer.
As we see scenes we've already seen. Jammy Dodgers and a Fez.
12 Jammy Dodgers and a Fez. And I bought Jammy Dodgers for tonight. So we'll be getting into those momentarily.
And Jelly Babies.
And Jelly Babies for tonight.
They leave with such epic, like, their trailers for all their...
Monsters are real.
Ooh. So epic.
It is so epic.
I love this show.
Back to Christmas Carol. What did you think?
It was good. Oh, yeah. I mean, they did a very good job of translating the classical story into a Doctor Who story. Like...
Yeah,
I think so too.
It really tugs at you. It makes you think. It makes you wonder, you know, about choices. So it's good. It's really good.
What do we have? Chrissy wants to know if we think we'll get a coming soon trailer on this year's Christmas special. She obviously watched the coming soon trailer on her copy of the DVD as well.
Absolutely. I think it'll be tough because they haven't shot as much as by this time last year.
Right.
They hadn't shot as much stuff because we've got an entire year. I have a feeling we'll get a bit of a teaser.
I bet we don't get an actual full trailer,
but we'll get a teaser.
And Mavic Chin says, "Yep, still the best Doctor Who Christmas episode ever," but he is looking forward to the new one, which, as we record, airs Christmas Day. We got it is now officially
Christmas Eve. Actually, it's not because it's not Christmas Eve till tonight, but.
It's Christmas Eve morning.
Christmas Eve day.
Why you got to be that guy?
It is the day before Christmas.
Are you hearing this? Are you hearing how persnickety he is? Even on the Christmas special, he's a grumpy bear.
This is the details.
I'm going to poke him with a stick.
This is the penultimate day before Christmas.
What did the doctor say?
Wait. No. It's the final day before Christmas.
Oh, it would be the final. Yesterday would have been the penultimate day before Christmas. That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, let's wrap this up so we don't make it too long because we won't be able to get people to get a chance
too
to
long.
Listen to this.
That's not us at all.
Well, thank you all for joining us for our little Christmas party and our Christmas Carol commentary. And hopefully we didn't stray or ramble too much. And if we did,
hopefully we didn't go quiet.
I think, if anything, we probably went quiet a little too much.
I don't know. I think we did pretty good.
Hopefully they could still at least hear the episode in the background.
Well, that's right. If you're anything like us, you got just as sucked into the story and kind of forgot that we were here like we did. So
yeah,
there were a couple of those instances.
Yeah, that's the other. Mel and I just watched this 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
And we were.
It's such a great story. Well, it still draws you in.
Christmas stuff. What do you want to watch? I was like, hey, let's watch a Doctor Who Christmas special. She said, okay. And Billy said, well, let's watch the Doctor Who Christmas special. And we kind of knew which one he was leaning toward, so we grabbed this one and popped it in and watched it and loved it. And you know, it's fantastic. And it wasn't until after it was over that I went, oh, I'm going to be watching this in 2 weeks. What was that? I should have watched Christmas Invasion or one of the other ones. But it doesn't matter. It's just as engaging.
So good.
I'm ready to turn around and watch it again now.
All right. Well, fired up.
Okay. Press play now. Going again.
That's going to do it for us this week, or for this special edition. Traveling the Vortex. Christmas special.
Christmas special.
Wishing all of you and yours a very Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah. Hanukkah. Happy holidays, season's greetings.
Kwanzaa.
Whatever you're, we're halfway out of the dark. Hanukkah. Let's celebrate that.
Eel Saturnalia. Happy solstice. Happy New Year. All of the above. Happy Boxing Day. Be sure to tip your mailman and your service providers.
Oh, is that the purpose of Boxing
Day? That's Boxing Day. You tip.
I never knew that.
You tip or give goodies or things is to it because your, you to your mailman, to people that deliver.
You normally get things in boxes? And, is that why it's Boxing Day?
You know,
I think it's package delivery.
Yeah, I think it has to do with the packages.
You're totally making this up.
No, I'm not making this up. Be sure to tip your service providers. Anyway, that's going to do it for this time. Until next time, I'm Glenn.
I'm Sean.
I'm Pete.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Blake.
I'm Mel.
Cheers.
Good night, everyone.
Be seeing you.
Merry Christmas!
You have been listening to Traveling the Vortex. Doctor Who and all of its associated programs are owned and trademarked by the BBC. No infringement is intended or implied.